Welcome back to Head Games Ready. We're joined by two-time Major League Baseball General Manager Jim Beattie with the Expos and the Orioles. And Jim, it seemed as if it was inevitable by midway through the game on, what night was that? Friday night? It seemed as if it was inevitable. And yet, only a week earlier, people thought that Detroit had all the momentum. Was it the layoff?
Well, I think the layoff hurt Detroit. You know, they had the momentum going in, but with respect to the Cardinals continuing to play, continuing to have to bring themselves up emotionally every night when their tough series with the Mets, and they responded. They responded. They snuck by the Mets, as a lot of people. That was a big upset with respect to that. I think that was probably the toughest series that the Cardinals had to get to, and their starting pitching was outstanding. Their offense kind of lagged, and their offense picked it up a little bit and were able to score some runs when they got into the World Series, unlike Detroit's.
Well, Bob Melvin commented on what he thought Detroit would have to do.
You know, you've exhausted pretty much all you can do. I mean, everybody knows the urgency of today's game. So, they expect these guys to go out and he's going to probably try to force the game a little bit early, maybe if he gets some guys on, maybe hit and run a little bit and try to put some pressure on the other side. But it's not like, you're going to have a team that's going out there flat tonight. You know, they know what's involved. There's a lot of urgency. You know, there's a lot of momentum against them right now. But if you just look the matchup truly for what it is tonight, you would think that Detroit has an edge on the matchup, at least at the pitching end. So,
at the pitching end, and that's where Weaver came in. And that was an incredibly important decision. With Reyes pitching so well in that first game, many people thought you go with the hot hand. But he chose Weaver. Why do you think that was? And what was it about the game plan that Weaver executed so perfectly?
Well, obviously he made his pitches. That's the most important part. Go out there and you're able to execute. I mean, as they got to the point, and I think the pitchers in particular, when they were attacking Detroit's club, attacking their hitters, they knew that there were weaknesses that they could exploit as long as they were able to make the pitches. And Weaver went out there and did that. He made them hit the ball. He didn't walk the guys. He got some good plays made behind him. And, it really came down to some pretty good pitching, beating an offense that really wasn't at its peak when it needed to be.
And then you've got, in addition to Weaver, the wonderful story of Adam Wainwright, who didn't even know if he'd make the team in spring training. He ends up being the closer. His transition, taking over from Isringhausen, I think, is another example of the genius of a Tony La Russa.
Well, you know, oftentimes you're forced into situations that turn out better than you could have expected, and that certainly was one, to try to figure out who is going to be your closer, because a closer is so important when you get into the playoffs. But to try to figure that out essentially when you're in the playoffs is such a tough way to go, and to place your trust in somebody like that was a very difficult thing for them to do. But when you have an injury, you have no other choice. You have to do it that way, and it worked out well for the Cardinals.
Well, since we talked about basketball earlier, I thought I'd borrow a line from our friend Peter Gammons. He said, it's not about the best player at every position. October baseball is like March college hoops. Random, sneaky, streaky. Proof that most of the sports predictions are totally invalid and intellectually dishonest. Do you think that's true?
Well, I think it's true. You know, I was reading an article today where a guy said that Detroit was going to win in four. He thought that they were just going to roll over the Cardinals. And he's admitting today that, he was one of the idiots that called that way. And when you get into the playoffs, it is who's hot, who's streaky, who's going well. And I think it was not necessarily a matter of that the Cardinals were streakier. It's that the Detroit, with their layoff, turned out to be very, very cold. And in some cases, even colder than the weather that they had to play in Detroit.
If you're a manager now and you're in the same situation, your team is red hot, they've beaten the Yankees, they've done whatever it took against Oakland, they've played extremely well. Now they've got a week off. What would you have done differently? Looking at what happened, stuck up there in Detroit, would you have gone, I think you mentioned going down perhaps to Florida, spend a couple days down there, make sure that your guys have a sort of game-ready intensity, because as you and I have talked, it's really less influential on the pitchers than it is on the batters.
Right. The hitters taking the time off, you know, messes up their timing. They need to see, and not just batting practice, or they need to see competition pitching where people are trying to get them out. They're throwing with the same velocity, and it's extremely tough to simulate when you're not in that situation. Whether they could have gone to Florida to do something like that, you know, I would expect that Jim Leland did as much as he could have done. I knew that they were working out in the football stadium in Detroit when it was very cold. They were trying to keep working out there, trying to. But playing is the one thing that keeps you sharper than anything else. You know, when players take 3 days off at the All-Star break, some guys come back and if they're pitchers and they haven't thrown very much, you know, they have a hard time hitting a glove again. And hitters are the same way. So having taken that amount of time off from playing more than anything else, it really put them behind the eight ball. I don't know, and certainly it's going to be something that any club gets in that situation again. I don't know how you could prepare your club to come out of that week layoff.
Well, you know what? We're going to be joined by Tom Flores in just a second to talk about the Raiders game and how that team has turned it around. Before we do, we're going to start a tradition today, which is who is the most clutch? Who was the performer under pressure in that World Series? Was it David Eckstein? Was it maybe Scott Rolen? Who was your MVP? But better yet, who was the guy that exemplified performance under pressure? And conversely, who was your guy that was the biggest choke, the biggest disappointment performance-wise in the World Series?
Well, I would say, you know, they picked the right guy for the MVP. I think emotionally, psychologically, he was a big boost. Every time he did something, two out base hits, you know, the Cardinals in one game, I think they had four, two out, maybe five, two out base hits to drive in runs. And that's a tough, tough thing to do. Typically, if you get one or two in a game, you know, Eckstein had a couple. It really picked his club up. They came from behind in the game when they were down 3-0 to win 5-4, and that was, I think, the critical game that helped them. Eckstein was my guy for the best performance under pressure. You know, there's a bunch of guys, really, with Detroit. And again, you go to the hitters that didn't perform, but I think a big bat, although, you know, Maglio Ordonez is a big bat in their lineup, and I think when they need it, the guy that, like an Eckstein, that really jump-starts their offense, Placido Polanco, had a great playoff series and just didn't get it done in the playoffs for whatever reasons. He couldn't generate any kind of spark on the base pass, to get on the bases, whatever, to get that offense going for Detroit.
Well, Jim Beattie, you came through under pressure, my friend, throughout this World Series in the playoffs. We appreciate it. We'll check in with you and see what's going on with you and with the free agency period that's starting in the next few weeks. But again, as always, you're a true pro, and thanks for joining us.
Nick, enjoy the NFL season. Take care.
Thank you, sir. Well, now we're going to switch to what has been the theme for this NFL season, which is the lack of predictability. My gosh, Tom Flores, one of the great coaches, a Super Bowl coach for the Raiders several times, also a general manager for the Seahawks as well. And we're going to talk about two games involving both the Seahawks and the Raiders with Len Dawson and Tom Flores. Tom, thanks for joining us.
Well, you're welcome. Just sitting here in Oakland, actually on my way home after that game yesterday. And, you know, win's a win, but still, I mean, it was very unusual victory. That's all I can say. It's very unusual.
We're also joined by Len Dawson, who had an unusual game to witness where the Chiefs almost gave it back to Seattle. Len, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome. It's always great to be with Tom, and Tom is being very diplomatic. When the defense outrushes and gets more yards than the offense, that is unusual.
Hey, Leonard, the best offensive drive we had all day was when we had back-to-back 15-yard penalties. That was the best offensive drive all day. I mean, in my 45 years of professional football, I have never seen an offense so inept as it was yesterday. It's incredible, and still win the game. I mean, how's that?
Well,
Listen, guys,
17 yards passing.
It's just you know, you hold your breath. You hold your breath when the offense is in the game.
Hey, guys, when we come back, let's go into more depth about that. It reminds me of a Chiefs-Steelers game when the Steelers had 510 yards in 1986, but we happened to have a kickoff return for a touchdown, a punt return for a touchdown, a field goal block for a touchdown. That's the only way we were able to win that game. We're going to talk about the Raiders and their turnaround, at least on defense, with Len Dawson and somebody who could be in the Hall of Fame himself, Tom Flores, formerly head coach of the Raiders, when we come back. You're listening to Head Games Radio on Sports Byline.